should not think, this food I will keep to eat tonight, and this other food I can save for tomorrow. In other words, a sane person should not store foodstuffs acquired by begging. Rather, he should use his own hands as his plate and eat whatever fits on them. His only storage container should be his belly, and whatever conveniently fits into his belly should be his stock of food. Thus, one should not imitate the greedy honeybee who eagerly collects more and more honey. Purport. There are two types of honeybees, those who collect nectar from the flowers and those who actually manufacture honey in the beehive. This verse refers to the second class. The greedy honeybee eventually collects so much honey that he is trapped in his hive. In the same way, a materialistic person becomes trapped under the burden of unnecessary material accumulation. One who is interested in making spiritual progress should avoid such a situation. However, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness, one may accumulate an unlimited amount of material opulence. This is called yukta vairagya, or using everything in the service of Krishna. The saintly person who is unable to work in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission should practice austerities and collect only what he can hold in his hands and belly. However, one who has given his life to Krishna may collect unlimitedly on Lord Krishna's behalf. In fact, without acquiring material opulence, how is it possible to spread the Krishna conscious movement all over the world? But if one tries to personally enjoy the funds or facilities acquired for the missionary activities of the Krishna consciousness movement, he commits the greatest offense. Therefore, even in the name of Lord Krishna, one should collect only what he can immediately engage in practical devotional service. Otherwise, one will fall down to the platform of ordinary greediness. Verse 12, we'll read together, similar verse. So, Sayantanam Prastanam Vanas Sangunita Bhikshukta Ra Iva Sangvinan Sahatena Vinasyati. A saintly mendicant should not even collect foodstuffs to eat later in the same day or the next day. If he disregards this injunction, like the honeybee collects more and more delicious foodstuffs, that which he has collected will indeed ruin him. So, purport. Brahma refers to that honeybee who wanders about from flower to flower. And Makshika is the honeybee who accumulates more and more honey in the beehive with great attachment. A saintly mendicant should be like the Brahma bee, because if he imitates the Makshika bee, his spiritual consciousness will be ruined. This point is so important, it is repeated in this verse. The first, practically two lines of these two verses are identical, except for that one word, and still, and the other two lines are very similar. Makshika is used in the last line, and here it's used in the third line. Vinashati. Sadhya Bhakti, Sadhya Vinashati. There's six things. Atyahara, first one, we talked about it yesterday. Shishnodara Parayana Ityuti Dai. During the instructions Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Raghunath, he used the word Udara, that one who is a follower who chases his belly and genitals, and Krishna Nahipai, one never to be able to get Krishna. Udara, Udara Pasta Begum. So the first verse of Upadeshamrita, very important little book for everybody throughout in the human form of life. they should have to read that book in second grade, or at least in the Gurukula they should read it. So Shiva Begum, Udara Pasta Begum, the different pushing. So the B is given. The B is also used in other parts of the Shastra, in the seventh canto. Specifically, there's Makshika B, Brahmara B. Prahlad Maharaj, after his childhood pastimes, he was described that he was traveling throughout the universe, and he came to the Kaveri River. So at least we know that part of the universe he was in. There was a mountain there, Sahya. So that mountain, there was one sage who was practicing Ajagarabhriti. It means he was lying down, not doing anything, like a python or piton. Piton, French. So there was one new bhakta in when I was in Ermenonville near Paris, and he had a python in his room. Yeah, anyway, so when I went into his room, he had borrowed some from me. He wasn't an ordinary new bhakta. He was actually mercenary. He had killed many people. He was a very bizarre person. So he had borrowed something from me, and I went into his room, and there was one window, and it was dark. So I looked toward the window to see why it would be dark, and there was a glass cage with this huge python. And I looked, and I guess I looked pretty shocked when he said, "Python." I said, "Yeah, you got a python in your room." I wasn't following anything, but he shot the swans and ducks that we had swimming to feed his python. So that's not how, that's a good example of not to deal with a python. Of course, this python couldn't do anything. He was lying there, but he had to be fed. He was in the glass cage. But a piton, ordinary piton, he constricts, you know, chokes things. But this man who was this sadhu, he was lying there. You know, Prahlad Maharaj was very interested. He was with some of his associates. And he asked him, "How is it that you're lying here? Generally, when people don't do anything, they don't get chubby. You're quite chubby. If you don't think that's an impudent question, then you can please answer." Of course, he didn't think it was impudent because he understood. He knew who Prahlad Maharaj was. He said, "You're the best of the demons, a great personality. So therefore, your words are like a shower of nectar. I have to respond." Generally, he didn't have to respond, described there, but he responded. He said, how he described how he had seen the human society fruitlessly running after sense gratification, therefore he had retired. And he also described, one of his main description was how the human beings act like these makshika bees, accumulating more and more and entangled by their own accumulation. We can see that all over the world. If you call this a universe or a planet or a world, whatever they call it, it's insignificant, spot, dust, particle, whatever you call it, earth, planet. The human beings are acting in a very contrary way to their own purpose of being a human being, accumulating, always worried, described also in the fifth canto, the yellow stool of gold. Everyone's trying to accumulate more and more. And even if he's a pauper, as described in the 12th canto, he's proud of his penny. Even if he has one paisa or anything, it's quite numerous. But so everyone is accumulating and fighting over resources. And the earth, is also described in the 12th canto, is actually laughing. Yes, they're all coming here with nothing, naked. They're leaving with nothing. In between, they're fighting and killing each other. "This is mine." "No, it's mine." They're fighting over some place in the desert, bombs, huge $500 million bombing in the desert, you know. So money, so many things going on all over the world. is going on, just based on his greed. And it's all a mental concoction. So Bhagavad Gita gives us so many prescriptions. Yadritcha lava santushto vandati tobinaksa samasiddhava siddhochati papinana bhagavata. How not to become entangled? Yadritcha lava, whatever you get, according to providence, according to Krishna, yadritcha, itcha. There's itcha, dvesha too, described in the, what, seventh canto? Itcha dvesha samutena dvandva mahena. We're coming here with so many desires. So, in our modern age, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also shown a good example. Traveling in Jarikanda, he sometimes chastised his servant not to accumulate. First of all, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go alone, ekaki, to go to Vrindavan alone. Don't want to be bothered. Previously, I tried to go to Vrindavan. Sanatana Goswami gave me good advice because there were millions of people following me. Why? How could I go like that to Vrindavan? So now, he told Sri Damodara, I will only go alone. Sri Damodara said, but my Lord, you always say that our satisfaction is your satisfaction. Sri Damodara is always expert at diplomacy with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not always successful, but so in this way he said, so how can we be satisfied if you go alone? You must take some bhana. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, how can I take any of you? The others will be frustrated. I can't take anybody. He said, no, but you can take a new person. He said, but if I take a new person, maybe like Kala Krishnadas, who fell down with women. How can we do that? I can't do that. He said, no, but we have a new person. He's been worshipping you for so long, but he's just arrived in Puri, Balabhadra Bhattacharya. You can take him. And you can take another Brahmin. He can carry your cloth in your water pot. And Balabhadra, he can bake for alms, and he can cook. So how about that? So Mahaprabhu agreed. And so he left very at the end of night. It was still dark. And how did he go? Not on the road. But as soon as he left, and early in the morning, it was dark, on the path through the forest. And on the path in the forest 500 years ago, it's not like now, or if there was any forest in India. I think there is. Jarikanda, there's still forest. Different parts. There's forest. So there's very spooky, scary, just like when Narada Muni went to the forest and owls and jackals. But there, as described immediately, there were hasti vyagra, elephants and tigers and rhinoceroses. It's, any of us would never think, even in those days, people would try to avoid going through the jungle. But for Mahaprabhu, it was great ecstasy. And those tigers and elephants, rhinoceroses, they would move aside as the Lord passed through. And after one or two days, a tiger was standing right in the path. He wasn't moving aside. The Mahaprabhu just touched the tiger with his foot. And Balabhadra was very struck with wonder, astonished. Chamatkar, that tiger was just dancing in ecstasy. So Prabhupada said, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. To renounce everything, Vishaya Charya Kabi Shudhabiman Kabi Hama Hedabashi Vrindavan. We're all trying to get to Vrindavan, whether for Mahaprabhu, Vrindavan is everywhere. So we can take lesson from that also. Even the great devotees, many of them never went to what we know as Vrindavan. Gadadha, so many never made it to Vrindavan. They were staying there in Puri or somewhere else. But for Mahaprabhu, wherever he went, every hill is Govardhan, every body of water is Yamuna. So when they moved through the forest, he was simply taking like this, handful, not stashing anything. But Mahaprabhu was keeping and collecting roots many times. Sometimes the Brahmins would come out, the Sudra Mahajans would come. They're not born Brahmins, but they're purified Vaishnavas. So Mahaprabhu would eat their cooking also. Otherwise, in the middle of the jungle, Balabhadra was cooking. I don't know how he had kept matches or they had some tricky way to make fire. no problem. And so this is the ideal sannyas life, not living in opulence. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati became so shocked that some of his disciples were becoming fatty unnecessarily. They weren't living like this python man, but he used to become discouraged, or he would chastise them and poke them. He wouldn't say anything and come over if they were a little fat like this, and they would think, oh, Guru Maharaj is not very happy. So he wasn't always very satisfied. He wrote one letter to the Calcutta monk, telling that the sannyasis, he gave so many rules. He said, you got to become like fops. Foppish. He used 4, 5, 6 times in one letter. I don't know how many times, but at least 4 or 5. So, there are many foppish type so-called sadhus. Prabhupada said so-called. Prabhupada many times he would say so-called gurus and swamis, so-called gurus, swamis, incarnations. Alluring people with so much opulence and themselves living like kings enjoying sense gratification. But it is not recommended in Bhagavatam. It is not Mahaprabhu's mission. Vishayacharya. The Prabhupada is Paramahansa, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, he's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's described here, Bhaktisiddhanta says, Paramacharya Sahitu Prachar. For one who is given his life, his only life is preaching, then he can accumulate anything, like Arunasaktasya Vishayam. Otherwise, he should not. That's also mentioned. Prapancha kataya buddhi. Those who see, who are actually not preaching, there are those who are not preaching, but they should eat very little. There were some devotees in during Prabhupada's era. They declared that now I will only chant 64 rounds and live simply. Prabhupada said, then you have to eat this much. In one day, immediately he told them. He put his hands like that. Two palms. That is your plate, just like described here. But this is actually the start-off point for people like Dhruva Maharaj. He was eating only air after a while. What to speak of food? He was eating leaves, dried leaves, and then only water and only breathing. He started with fruits for so long, it was in a few months, and then gradually till the whole universe became. So this is just a baseline for such persons. But for us, it's something we can't even imagine. But so therefore Narottam says, Vishaya Charya Kshuta Habima. One has to give up Vishaya. Vishaya Charya. Sera Se Majiya. Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari. To chant the holy name properly, one has to be renounced. Of course, anyone can chant, but the more one renounces, according to our Bhaktisiddhanta, the more one is, even Mahaprabhu, we've quoted it so many times, he's very satisfied to see the devotees renouncing, not enjoying like a fop, like a king. So Bhaktisiddhanta wrote these rules for his sannyasis and brahmacharis in Calcutta. It was meant for all of his golden monks. He said, from now on, the sannyasis should not even wear shoes. They must go barefoot. And Prabhupada, of course, he adjusted. In the West, if we go barefoot, then if no one will even care for you. You just get arrested, practically. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he was so strict, and this was Gaudiya Mahan, we don't know how foppish they were, but he said, we don't require gymnasts or weightlifters, bodybuilders. They can leave the temple. Those who are sannyasis who are trying to control others' wives, trying to enjoy their senses with milk products and sweets, or even taking medicine. He said, when one comes to an advanced platform, the other members of the mob or outsiders will automatically, naturally provide medicine if you're sick. Those members of the mob, or those who stay in the mob, maybe not sannyasis even, they must serve outsiders. That's why you see even now, if you go to Gaudiya Mahan, any Gaudiya Mahan, the sannyasis are serving prasadam. In our ISKCON also, sometimes. They're serving prasadam. happily. It's not that. We see that in Mahaprabhu's pastime, Swarup Damodar, very advanced devotees are serving prasada. Shankara Pandit, during festivals, feasts, they don't take first. They don't take separately. Bhakti Sananda said, sannyasis must not take separately, enjoy luxurious prasada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, who was living so austerely as a brahmachari, what was he eating? Just one bowl of rice or something, and it was raining, and he didn't care, just put an umbrella up. He was chanting every day like 3 lakhs or some of rounds. He didn't care. Still he was preaching, still he was studying. He was not sleeping. So this renunciation is meant to bring us to this platform. See equally, these are basic things of Bhagavatam. So we have to come to the basics. Many times people want to jump ahead. But Vishara Charya, Sera Se Majiya, Mukhi Balahari, one has to give up sense gratification. Raghunath Das, he would condemn himself even eating one cup of buttermilk, just satisfying the body, the tongue. Jiva Ati, the tongue is very voracious. So one has to gradually give it up more and more, renounce. Unnecessary material accumulation. So, yam maitrina adi grihameri sukam hitu chum. Grihameri, we're not meant to be grihameri, but it's very easy to become grihameri. Therefore, Prabhupada would always caution, better to remain. Call the Radha Dhamma brahmacharis. There are still some, there are still brahmacharis. But he said, yes, better to remain brahmachari, not, because as soon as one becomes, then everything is increasing in the household life. Stri means to increase, so you're increasing your sense gratification. So one has to bear this on his head, this Bhagavatam, all the instructions of the Bhagavatam. It seems very distant, very far-fetched. We just read how Prabhupada would sometimes, although very regulated, he would still become an ecstasy just staring at a picture of the Rath Yatra or something. Then he wouldn't be able to eat. Prahlad Maharaj, he was so, even as a child, was so absorbed in Krishna, he couldn't come when called for prasad. Krishna graha vihitatma na veda jagat idrisham. He couldn't see how the universe could go on without Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he said, I'm not disturbed at all, because I'm always absorbed in chanting and hearing Viryagayana Mahamita, the great nectar of chanting the glories of Krishna, chanting the holy name. Shoche tato vimukate tasa indriyatam. But those who are indriyatam, who are always after sense gratification. What to speak of eating out of your palm, some little bit of fruit, a little bit of spinach found in the forest, like Mahaprabhu, who was very happy bathing in the warm waterfalls. Nowadays, very difficult to find some waterfall nearby, especially in Florida. If you're in the mountains, you might find. How you light a fire? There's so many problems. Sukadeva Goswami describes satyang chito kim kashipo prayashaya. There are ample flats of land, no need of any bed. So that a Jagavaditi Brahmana, nobody knew who he was in a previous life. There was no Vaishnava Kriya Mudra Vigehana Buddha. Even a wise person cannot understand the symptoms of such an advanced person. Ajagalavritti. Prabhupada also said that we practice this ajagalavritti. In other words, we don't make extra endeavor. Prabhupada walking in the park, many times he would say, this is ajagalavritti. We didn't have to build a beautiful park. But naturally, somebody put it there, so we utilize it. And they're all sleeping, all nonsense in the morning, so we take advantage. Otherwise, they're walking their dogs. Feeding their dog. Prabhupada said, in America they made the dog a best friend. He said, why is it? Because they are a dog. So But people become attached to the dog. They're walking, and Prabhupada's walking and speaking the highest philosophy. They're walking their dog or jogging. I was in Venice Beach in the morning. It wasn't so early by the time we got there, but to Venice Beach takes some time to drive there. So there's people jogging. Of course, jogging may be good. I don't know. So Prabhupada saw joggers, and he said, "So?" The man went right by us. Just imagine, the most advanced person in the entire world is talking philosophy, and you're jogging right by it. Of course, it's very fortunate one way, but you missed some of it. Prabhupada said, "So he's running from death?" So an advanced person like Prabhupada, he sees life. He doesn't favor either. It's described in the Bhagavatam. He doesn't favor either life or death. Some people stress death, the impersonalist. Everything is null and void. Others life, which means they simply want to enjoy. But the advanced Vaishnava, he sees equally. Kalam samapatikshetah. He sees equally the time element. Prakritya purushena cha, the interaction of the living entity, ketravyam, sarva, what is it, ketravyam, the living entity in the field described by Krishna 13th chapter, that he is the, he sees all fields. So the advanced person like described here, he sees equally all. Vidya vinaya samtane bhav. This is just Bhagavad Gita. And mitra bhuk, that's also described. Eating very simply. Eating very simply with a hand. I remember when we joined, everybody ate with hand. Now everyone's searching for a spoon. Even in India, they give spoon. So, this is simple. Eating off the fork. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was eating during Chaturmasya. You eat only like one bite according to the moon, two bites, or you start off with 15 bites and gradually get down to one bite, eating it off the floor. I forgot the name of this vow during Chaturmasya. So gradually you're eating only one bite without hands and off the floor. So we don't imitate that. But at least we understand that this, and we have great awe, gaurava, for such persons, such great acharyas. Prabhupada didn't practice it. Prabhupada used to take something on a kadasi, usually, some fruits. Maybe just to show us an example. I know I was in the room with Prabhupada in Calcutta, and he was speaking that actually, dominical life means to bring eating and sleeping to nil. And I immediately said, "But Prabhupada, we can't do that. If we preach that, nobody will care for us." He said, "Yes, we don't. We give nice, sumptuous prasadam also." But we always know there's a higher standard. Krishna consciousness is not a static thing. One can always become more and more Rag, Anurag, Mahabhav. No one can attain, only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We keep that on our head. We don't try to artificially imitate it. Bhaktisiddhanta wrote a specific song like that. This path of rag we keep on our head means we keep with great awe and reverence. But how can we artificially jump there? We can't even control the tongue. So that's being stressed here in these verses. If one tries to personally enjoy the funds and facilities acquired, seen that so many times. And Prabhupada was very upset. Some devotees were taking money. He said, "They're a clique. They should be arrested." He wasn't happy that people were stealing anything, taking anything. Nowadays we have to have a investigative arm of ISKCON. They have to find out who is stealing. Diverting money, millions of dollars are sometimes being diverted. So there has to be investigation. Of course, it has to be there. It's a material world. Prabhupada didn't tolerate it. Once in a while, he said, "Okay, he has taken something," but otherwise, he said, when devotee was in Hawaii. He took the temple, he sold it, and kept the money. And then later the Prabhupada said, so if the GVCs are idle and they don't do anything, then they'll become like that devotee. They simply sell the temple and smoke ganja. So Prabhupada is aware. Have to be fully engaged, but also not attached. A Prabhupada could do that. Padma-patram-ivam-basa, like the lotus leaf, the water is there, is above, never entangled. Nirvaya Sarabhuta. What is this? This fourth chapter, verse, Nirvaya Sarabhuteshi. Nichachitta Narashraya. Karmanya Bhagatopi. Although acting is never entangled. Without reading Bhagavatam constantly, always, satatam, then one becomes fallen. There's so much temptation if one has all these things, as is described in this purport. Then he can be swept away, just like that honeybee. He's got so much accumulated in the hive, and then some guy comes, the bee master, what they call it, beekeeper, he steals it all, and the bee is nothing. It's finished. So if one accumulates so much gold, he's always worried, who will take my gold? My relatives will take it. Or the government's going to take it. I may put it in the wrong place. I lose the key. Or put it under the mattress. If I put it in the bank may steal it. The more you have them, it increases anxiety. So better to be free of these things. Give it up. Prabhupada had some Lakshmi. He would always use it for preaching. Never entangled. You don't find that Prabhupada went off. Oh, now I have so much money. According to astrological calculation, Prabhupada should have been as rich as Birla. Several astrologers said, someone like Prabhupada, so intelligent, so expert in dealing so many things, he could have been a billionaire. He wanted to, but Krishna always spoiled. But then he said, now that I became devoted, then now I have so many properties. Just like Prabhupada came to Detroit, they wanted to get this Fisher mansion. There was no money at the time, and that person wanted $350,000. So Prabhupada said, I did not have 3 paisa. But then Ambrose said, no, I will buy. And then other girl, Walter Ruther's daughter, like Ashwanti, she had some inheritance, she gave half. So Prabhupada said, I did not have even 3 paisa. And Prabhupada has so many properties. And even now, there are more and more. But there's always persons who are not advanced like Prabhupada, and they become entangled dealing with it. We've seen so many times. So if one left, then he has to resign from his position, or somehow the sannyasi is dealing with town. Prabhupada encouraged it, but not to the point where one is stealing, as mentioned in this purport. Although we need wealth, he commits the greatest offense if one tries to personally enjoy the funds or facilities acquired for missionary activity. Only what he can immediately engage. Otherwise, one will fall down to the platform of ordinary greediness. Okay. Any comments, questions? Senior Trivikram.
We found like nowadays there's mostly grihasthas living in the temples all over the world. Really. I mean, sometimes you have some brahmacharis, but usually a lot.
You've been to Mayapur recently? I mean, Darwin, India in general?
No.
You need a little
bit. Let us speak over the West for some time. I probably specifically want to address a problem in Guyana. there's mostly grihastas there. And then what happened, the devotee, there was one wealthy devotee who would like pay every one of them to serve, to render service. And then he ran into some problems and he couldn't pay them anymore. And then what happened? All of them left because they had to go and get jobs and things, and then no one to really to take care of the deity service properly.
What you said was, if you're living in the temple, you mentioned people living in the temple, but living in the temple means that you shouldn't require very much. You don't have rent, you have a little room. Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan, he saw these small A-frame houses back in 69, and then 72 he came. They had these little, I think 72, and well, they had nothing, I think, in 69. Anyway, so he said, yes, this is sufficient, and they're very small. I mean, you wouldn't want to have five kids in there. Maybe one little baby, but probably to keep it minimal. But now people are having, you know, 7,000, 8,000, 10,000 square foot house. But if they have the money, then they can do that without becoming fallen. They can still practice. But if all you do is stay in the house and relish it, or have to work so hard to maintain it also, and there's none, preaching is completely hampered, diminished. But if you mentioned households living in the temple, during Prabhupada's era, the household who lived in the temple couldn't live with a wife. The wife and husband lived separately. Very rare they had some place, maybe New Vrindavan, there was some cabin. Very minimal. No rent required. It's like 12, 14 feet by 8, 10 feet, 15 by whatever, small. But what, I don't know what your question was.
Yeah, I don't know what the question is either, because I bet in Vedic culture, right? You probably had some Vedic king or patron supporting some temple or community, and maybe the king got thrown out or the patron died, and sometimes temples didn't get the same support, and then there's changing clientele. I mean, a Brahmin householder could, you know, be associated with the temple, get some maintenance money. And if, you know, by the mystical potency of God, some material facility is shifted, things change.
Otherwise, he's like Sugama Brahma. He's all his veins are showing because he's so skinny. So that's a Brahma. So that's why Prabhupada said Brahminical status is to bring eating and sleeping to nil. But who's going like that? Eating and sleeping to nil means you're out of your body. If you don't eat, usually. I think there's one guy in, you know, Bombay hasn't eaten in 75 years, but there's only one. And over there, microphone. No, don't give her the mic, please. It's an expensive mic. You give it to a kid.
Just commented on what he was talking about. You know, in terms of, like, for example, in India, I haven't been there, but I've heard that in chapati, Ramaswamy's community, he did a...
It's not chapati, it's chopati.
Chopati, thank you. It was like a 6 or 7 page essay he wrote on dhanabas.com about his community, self-sufficiency. And even my group, Maharaj, he talked about the cottage industries. We should be a totally self-sufficient community, and we should try to develop that. And then we won't have everyone trying to independently make money.
Right.
And so it takes them away, like,
how long is that going to take?
Yeah,
you better stop driving a cab, and you better start getting out in the field.
Well, I support the cow movement here with boxing.
All right, anything else?
That's it.
Jaya, Srimad Bhagavatam.
My sentence is false.